the next 30 minutes or so,
declare to you from God's Word all the purposes of God, all the purpose He purposed before the world began, all the mind of God, all the will of God, and make known to you the will of God, all the Word of God. I'm going to try to declare unto you in about 30 minutes or so, all the Word of God. All the mysteries of God I want to try to know in about 30 minutes. All the creation of God, the reason for it. All the salvation of God. All the eternal mysteries, all the wisdom of God, all the knowledge of God, all the understanding of God in about 30 minutes. In fact, I can sum all that up in three words. Christ is all. Just said it all. Look at verse 11. It's speaking of our Lord being in Christ. In Christ, verse 11 of Colossians 3, there is neither Greek nor Jew. Nationalities. It's a new nature, new race of people. Circumcision or uncircumcision. Under the law, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all. And in all. Christ is all. Christ is the sum and the substance of this book. He is the purpose, the mind, the will of God, creation, salvation, everything. Christ is all. Throughout this book of Colossians, it speaks of Christ being all the preeminence of God in Him, all the fullness of God in Him, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Him, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and so on and so forth. So therefore, if Christ is all, Christ is all, that means everyone else is really nothing at all. Right? Everyone thinks there's something. The scripture says if any man thinks he's something, when he's what? Big zero. Big zero. You know, if this is us. This shouldn't offend any of God's people. What do you got there? If you put three zeros together, what do you got? You got zero. Okay, let's put a few more. I mean, what you got there? You still got zero. Now what you got? Put one in front of them. Now they're worth something. In themselves, they're worth nothing. But in Christ, we're something, somebody in Christ. Not in ourselves, but in Him. Only as we're found in Him. Outside of Him, we're nothing. Nothing. Paul said, I'm less than the least. We're all a bunch of nothings. And so if Christ is all, everyone else is nothing at all. If Christ is all, the wisdom and knowledge of God, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know anything at all. Right? If Christ is the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, if we don't know Him, we're fools. That's what the Scriptures calls those that don't know God. The fool that said no God. So, if Christ is all the wisdom and knowledge of God, it doesn't matter what a person may know. If they don't know Him, they know nothing. Alright, if Jesus Christ is all the treasures, blessings, riches, in Him are hid all the treasures. If you don't have Christ, then you have nothing. And it is certain that everything, every possession, everything in this world will be destroyed, will be burned up, will be lost, except the unsearchable riches of Christ. Scripture says, there is he that hath great riches and yet hath nothing, and there is he that hath nothing that is rich. If you have Christ, you have the unsearchable riches. Christ is all. All right? Well, let me tell you this. When we say we preach Christ, it's not just a slogan, is it? When Paul said, I'm determined, he came to Corinth. That was a city of a metropolitan city, people all over the world, much like New York City or something today. Came to that place. It was a center of arts and science and medicine and sports, and it had it all. But Paul didn't come there to debate those things, to talk about those things, to discuss those things. He said, I am determined not to know anything among you except save Jesus Christ. So when we say we preach Christ, when your pastor says that, and that's what the scripture said, Paul said, and you know it's so. You hear him preach constantly, don't you? And the men he has stand up here, they preach Christ. Why? Because Christ is Jesus Christ is all the religion anyone needs. Let me say that again. Jesus Christ is all the religion that we need. All right, let's look at this a little bit. All right, go look at Ephesians 1 with me. Go back there. Everyone knows this truth, loves. Jesus Christ is all the purpose of God, the will, the mind of God. You want to know why God purposed everything, what the purpose of God in everything is, what the will of God is in everything? Here it is. In Ephesians 1, and oh my, couldn't we go through these verses? But in verse 8, he says to his people whom he's made known that Christ is all. He says he's abounded, verse 8, he's abounded toward us in all wisdom. He's given us all wisdom. One time he told the Corinthians, you know all things, didn't he? You know all things. He that is spiritual understandeth all things. Now there are these silly little pinhead people out there that call themselves spiritual, you know, because they sit cross-legged and gaze at their navel and stuff like that. Oh, he's so spiritual. She's so spiritual. If she didn't know Jesus Christ, she's not spiritual. A spiritual person is one, and we looked at this the other night, or whenever, that a spirit-filled preacher, a spirit-filled people, a spirit-filled church are those who know Jesus Christ, who worship Jesus Christ, who are taken up with Jesus Christ. Because he is all. And he's the mind of God, the will of God. So someone who understands all things understands that all things are in Christ, for Christ, because of Christ. Look at it, verse 9. He's made known unto us the mystery of his will. He's revealed this unto his people according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. What is that? Here it is. The mind, the will, the purpose of God, the reason for all things. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. Because in him, in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, read on, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Right there's the will, the mind, the purpose of God, the reason for all things. Everything God did, purpose is for his son's glory. Creation, the next thing. Christ is all in creation. Look at Colossians 1. Go over to Colossians 1. Jesus Christ is all in creation. In fact, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He is the creator. He's the reason for these things. The reason God, he, and the Father made all these things. Look at it, verse 15. 15, Colossians 1. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And by him, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and what? For him. For his glory. He's before all things. The next verse. And by him all things consist. He made everything. And everything was made for his glory. Everything was made for his glory. Man was created in his image. Adam was created in the image of God, which is Jesus Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in a body. He is the image. When God said, let us make man in our image, what's that? The image of God. Everything. Everything is a monument to, everything is to the praise of the glory of God's Son. That's why he made it. That's why he made it. Everything. The trees. Christ is the tree of life. The trees clap their hands at him. The rocks. He's that rock of ages in cleft for me. The clouds are the dust of his feet. And on it goes. The birds sing of him. Everything. Man was created for his glory, to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ and to show forth his glory. That's why God created man. He had these people, this person wrote a book years ago, A Purpose-Driven Life. You know, I hope you have that, burn it. You don't need that. Right here is the purpose of God. You don't need that. And what that is give people, it feels like worthless, you know, and give you some kind of purpose in life. Every human being was created for the glory of God, redound under the glory, the praise of the glory of his grace. And only God's people, now man has lost that image. Man has come far short of that glory. But God predestined a people to be conformed to the image of his Son. Why? To the praise of the glory of his grace. Make them like Jesus Christ. Salvation is not just to keep people out of hell, it's to make something good out of them. So I start talking to you about those zeros. We're only good as we're in Christ, and Christ in us. That's why he made a new race of people, just like Jesus Christ. Like Barnard used to say, old brother Barnard, he's from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. But he said in his old Carolina way, he said that God got up from breakfast one morning, and he took one look at his son, and he loved him so much, he said he determined to have a whole bunch of boys just like him. Well, that's oversimplified it, but that's exactly why God created this world and recreated it. That's why he had mercy upon it and decided and purposed to have a people like his son. His son. Everything. Our Lord made everything. And everything redounds to the glory of our Lord. God said, let there be light in the beginning. God said, let there be light. What's that? Jesus Christ. He's the light. Well, who's the one that said that? Who's the Word? Jesus Christ. When God created life. Life. Christ. That's Christ. He is life. The way, the truth, and the life. He's all, isn't it? Everything is a monument to him. Everything. And so everything, all the works of man that are for his honor, for his glory, all that man has done, all the monuments to men will be cast down. When our Lord said there won't be one stone left standing on another about that temple. Remember, they were all taken up with that edifice, that building. And our Lord said, you see these things? And even the disciples were taken up with the beauty of that place. But he said there won't be one stone left standing on another. But what stone will be left standing? There will be one stone. The chief cornerstone. And that's Jesus Christ. Here's another illustration. When God destroyed this world by flood, when God destroyed this planet and everything in it and all the works of man and all the men in this world and women in this world and everything that man has ever done or accomplished, all the paintings he's done, all the music he's done, all the edifices he's built, everything he's built, the water covered it all, destroyed it all. It covered the highest mountain that men love to talk about climbing, scaling, Mount Everest. You know, I've summited 4 or 5 times. Well, God covered that with water. All the accomplishments of men. You know what was standing? You know what was risen above that? You know what had risen above everything on this earth? The ark. And there was no man seen but the ark. That's Jesus Christ. But there were some living, but you didn't see them. The ark. That's the only reason they were living. That's the only reason that God had mercy upon them. That's a picture that Jesus Christ is all. Everything that does not give glory to Jesus Christ, when it's all over, God's going. God has shown us that so many times. He's all the fullness of God. Look at chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 19. All the fullness of God. It says, it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Oh my. John quoted this. Who is sufficient for these things? I wish you'd come up here and deal with this. The fullness of God. Fullness of God. Verse 9 of chapter 2 says, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, Jesus Christ is fully God. He's fully God. He is fully God. He's, the old writers used to say, very God of very God. And He's fully man. Who can explain that? Who can understand that? So, and He is fully God. He has all the fullness of God, all that God is, the essence of God. God is spirit. And yet, God took a body. All the power of God. All the sovereignty of God. He says, as the Father hath power to quicken whom He will, even so the Son hath this power. All judgments committed unto me, Christ said, all the fullness of God, all the sovereignty of God. We just read that. All things were created by Him. You know, they call Mary the mother of God. Isn't that such blasphemy? Actually, the child that was in her arms was her father. That child was her father. Explain that, preach. Well, I can't. But I just know this. A child was born, but the Son, the everlasting Son, was given. And he called His name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Men couldn't understand this, could they? When He was on the earth. And they don't understand it today, so they don't believe it. We do, don't we? Why? Because the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we might know Him that is true, and we're in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ, because He's the true God and eternal life. We would know Him. The Lord turned to the disciples one time and said, who do men say that I am? And they started giving the description of, well, some say you're one of the prophets, like Samuel or Elijah. Now, if you say that about me, that'd be quite a compliment, wouldn't it? He's the next Elijah. If you say that about John, he's the next John the Baptist. What a compliment that would be. That was no compliment to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was degrading to Him. Moses said He's that prophet. Capital P. I think it's Hebrews 3. It says, let us consider the apostle, capital A. Apostle is never capitalized in the scripture, but one time in front of Jesus Christ's name. High priest is never capitalized in the Bible except right there in front of Jesus Christ's name. He is the high priest. And all these fellas today are imposters. We have a high priest already, Jesus Christ. But all the fullness of God, they didn't believe he was God when he was upon this earth. How can you? You're just a man and you make yourself to be God. That's what they said about it. You're just a man and you make yourself to be God. No, you got it backward. See, judgment is turned backward, isn't it? Understanding is all wrong. It's all, he got the cart before the horse. He was God. He is God. He made himself to be a man. It says in the volume of the book it is written to me. The body has self-prepared me. He was eternal. He has no father or mother. How can he be God and yet be the Son of God? Well, he is. All the fullness of God. Very God of very God. He did only the things that God could do. He said only the things that... One time, oh, I love this. He said that man that was sick of the palsy, and they let down that bed through the roof at his feet, and the first thing he said, the greatest words that man ever heard. That man who's lying there on that bed, never walked in his life, lying there on that bed, completely paralyzed from the palsy. The Lord Jesus Christ looked at him and said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." And I just believe that man smiled. I just believe that man had peace and joy like he never had before. He's still lying there paralyzed. The Lord did the greatest thing for him that he could possibly do. Gave all of his sin. And those enemies of his said, "Who can forgive sins but God?" That's why you don't. I don't know if anyone here came out of Catholicism. There still is. I don't know. Come out of that. The Lord bring you out of that. Those imposters, those fellas that sit in those little booths back there, filthy, vile, wretched fellas that people feed their sins to, feed their wild imagination to. Despicable. They're antichrist. They're imposters. Jesus Christ is the only priest you need. Jesus Christ is the high priest of God. In fact, you go to him and he himself will personally forgive all your sins. The only one that can. It's our prayer. Him dwelleth all the fullness of God, all the power of God, the sovereignty of God, the character of God. I need another hour. Is God holy? Is God just? Is God righteous? Yes, he is. Really, only one holy man to ever walk this earth. Holy means totally consecrated, dedicated for the glory of God. Holy. He came into this world holy, blameable, unreprovable, separate from sinners. Holy means unlike, other than. Oh my. He came to be our holiness, separate, sanctify us by his sanctification. Holy. He is the goodness of God. When our Lord told Moses, when Moses said, "Lord, show me your glory." Remember that? "Lord, show me your glory." And he said, seen many things. He'd seen God's creative glory. He'd seen God's power. The Red Sea parted. And so he said, "But show me your glory, your person, your character. You really are. Show me your greatest glory." And our Lord said, "I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. Everything that's good about God will make it pass before you." What's that? What? Jesus Christ is the goodness of God. Is God love? Oh, behold, what manner of love. Greater love hath no man than this. How do we know God is love? Because he sent his Son. He is love, personified it. Hanging on that cross. Does he love sinners? Does he forgive? Will God forgive sin? Hanging on that cross, the first words out of his mouth. Very ones that nailed God mercy? Yes. Look at Jesus. God grace? Yes. He's the gift of God. It's all. Is it in all? God long suffering? Our Lord said to his disciples one day, I love you. He said, how long must I bear with you? Christ is all the Word of God. We looked at this a little bit, didn't we, the other night? He's all the Word of God. All that God has to say to man is concerning Jesus Christ. God, Hebrews 1 says, God, in sundry times and divers manners, different manners, spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His. You know this. All of Hebrews, what's Hebrews about? Hebrews is a summary of the whole Old Testament. What's it about? Well, how did it start? Son. Talking about God's Son. He is light. In Him we live and move and have our being, like that sun in the sky. A tabernacle? God created all things, and He said He made the heavens as a tabernacle, a monument to the sun. He's put the sun, that ball of the sky, and He put that there, and every eye must behold that sun every day. And it's no coincidence that the name sounds just like sun. Everyone is forced to see that the sun, and if there's no sun, we're dead. In the sun, we live and move and have our being. Well, that's speaking of Jesus Christ, He that hath not the sun. It's all redound to the glory of His Son. The calendar. Everyone is forced to look at the calendar. A.D., B.C., for Christ, all time is measured by Jesus Christ, measured around the crucifixion of the Lord. That's the center of the universe. Center of time. B.C., that's ground zero. May I say that? That's what it all points to. The Old Testament, everything it pointed to that, and everything we look back to that. He's all the Word of God, all the prophecies of God, the revealed will and mind of God, all the prophecy. To Him give all the prophets witness, all the types, all the symbols, all the shadows, all the pictures. I quoted this the other night when our Lord appeared to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. It says He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning Himself. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard that message? Wouldn't you have loved to have heard Him preach on Abraham and Isaac? Wouldn't you have loved to have heard Him preach on Boaz, the kinsman redeemer? It's His book, and it's all about Him. It's His autobiography. All redounds to His glory. Jesus Christ is all the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. Look at Proverbs 8. You know this, Proverbs 8. Go over there real quickly. Close this. I haven't told the half, and had all day long, the half would still not be told. But as I said, we can sum it up in these three words. Proverbs chapter 8. You may not know this. Those in this congregation do. You've been taught well that wisdom is Christ. Christ is all the wisdom of God. And this whole chapter speaks of Him, and it is the word spoken by Him. Verse 8, He says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. They're all plain to him that understand it, and right to them that find knowledge. Read that again. It's all plain to him that understand it. And I quoted 1 John 5 to you that he's come and given us an understanding. It's all plain when God opens the scriptures to our understanding that to see Christ, then it becomes very plain. You start looking at these Old Testament types. That's Christ. Do you remember the first time you saw these types opened up to you? Like Noah's Ark. People come in and they've never heard the gospel before. The Lord begins to reveal Himself to them and they see these things that we've seen so many times, like Noah's Ark, and they're like little kids. Wow! Dad, I didn't know that!
He's Noah's Ark, isn't it? He's the smitten rock, isn't it? He's the manna from heaven, isn't it? He's the Passover lamb. He's the woman, see? He's all that. A young man told my son-in-law, who's pastor in Kingsport, been sitting under the word for years. And finally, one day, big old tears running down his face, he said to Gabe, he said, "I didn't know Jesus Christ is in all the Bible. That's why God wrote it. It's not just a book of, you know, you ever quaint sayings and wisdom and knowledge and know how to live in this world." Christ said, "No." He said, "I am come that they might have life." Christ is life. To know Him is to have life. God wrote this book so that we might know His Son. "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God." God reveals Himself only in the Bible, in the Scripture, from the preaching of the Scripture. And His Son, who was sent, revealed to the preacher. Christ said, "If I be lifted up while we preach, we're like that pole that Moses held that serpent on. That's our only purpose in it." That's the purpose of this book. That's the purpose of it. He that hath the Son hath life. Are you with me? He's all. He's all. He's wisdom. Look at this in Proverbs 8. It says in verse 17, "I love them that love me." Who does God love? He doesn't love everyone in this world. He loves those in Christ. There was no bumper sticker on the outside of that ark. "Smile, God loves you." Wouldn't that be a mockery? God didn't love those people outside of that ark. He hated them. He destroyed them. You don't destroy those you hate. I mean, you love. Don't burn up things that you love. You keep them. But those in the ark, that's who God loved. If there was a bumper sticker, it's on the inside of the ark. "Smile. God loves you." The love of God is in Christ. Is that what Romans 8:29 said? Yes. He is the love of God. He said, "I love them that love me." He said, "The Father loved them that loved me," didn't He? That's what God's holding this whole world accountable for. They don't care about God's Son. And I didn't care about it. And you didn't care about Him over the time. But God, rich in mercy, for His great sovereign love, electing love, chose some people to do what? To love His Son. To fall in love with His Son. To marry His Son. There's like the bride for Isaac. It's like the bride for His Son. Every one of them were forlorn women like Gomer. They weren't nice, sweet, beautiful ladies. Forlorn women, all of them. But God chose some of them to fall in love with Himself, His Son, to come down here and redeem them, become their bridegroom. In heaven, we got this thing of marriage all wrong, don't we? Huh? Man-made ceremony. What we do is we parade the bride down for everyone. Oh, look at the bride. Isn't she beautiful? While the groom's standing over the side, hoping she'll say yes. Isn't that right? I sure hope she doesn't change her mind. Poor little old fella, little meek and mousy little fellow over there. Not in heaven. Going to parade the Son of God down there. Now all the brides and look at the altogether lovely Son of God. I'm just so thankfully choosing an ugly bride like me. That's what it's all about. That He would come down here to save such despicable creatures like us to the praise and the glory of His grace. I'm mad at anybody. I'm mad at religion. I hate what they're saying about it. Jesus Christ is all. He gets all the glory. In heaven, not one human being is going to get any glory, not going to share any glory. Nobody in there. Everybody in heaven knows why they're there. They're there for one reason, Jesus Christ. But they had nothing to do with it. They didn't choose him. They didn't decide to believe on him. They didn't accept him. It's the other way around. He chose them. They're accepted in him. He's the one that did the deciding. It's the glory, all the glory that way. And everybody there is just so grateful to be there. Oh, it's all plain when it's given you. Jesus Christ is our salvation, all the salvation of God, the love, the mercy, the grace, the forgiveness of God, reconciliation. God, who's angry with the wicked every day, is not angry with his people. Why? Because he poured out his wrath on Jesus Christ. He's not angry with his people because Jesus Christ bore all the wrath and the judgment of God for them. Not because they decided to turn over a new leaf. Not because they quit their meanness. But because Jesus Christ bore the wrath and the judgment of God. Because Jesus Christ was made sin for them. That's why. All of God's people know that. The salvation of God, everything. All the promises of God, all the promises of God are not if and but or maybe, but yea and amen. God has declared it, the decree, I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion, and every single person I've given to him, he shall not fail or be discouraged. Every single person I've given to him, every single person that comes to him by the Spirit of God, every single one that is in Jesus Christ, like those in that ark, he said, I will never, never cast them out. They are saved eternally, accepted, loved, mine forever. Say that. Amen. All the blessings of God, all the blessings of God. Paul mentioned those blessings in Ephesians 1. He didn't mention one material thing. Did he? Not one single material thing. Not food, not clothing, not a shelter, not possessions, not one. He said, blessed be God. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings where? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. And he's in all. Let me close with this. Christ is all and in all. He's in all his people. Christ in you is the hope of glory. As said, God didn't save a people to just keep them out of hell, but to make something out of them. To make them predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. And Christ is in all his people. Character of God. You say, I don't see it. Well, you're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. But can you not see it in your brother? Huh? Can you look at your brother? Can't you look over here at one of these brethren and say, he resembles Christ. He's a Christ-like man. And they look at you and say the same thing. You look at the mirror, you look within and try to, and you can't see it. But see, that'll keep you from looking to yourself. That'll keep you from taking some glory in yourself and keep you looking to Christ. He's in all his people. And if you'd cut open the mind, the heart of all of God's people, you'd ask them their hope of eternal life. You'd ask them if they hope to be with God someday, if they hope that they're a child of God, if they hope they're saved, if you cut into the mind, the heart of all of God's people, that all of them will give you a one-word answer. I ask people that they're religious. That's that what I ask. What's your hope? Go to heaven someday? What's your hope? Every one of God's people.
stop and think about it and say, Jesus Christ. My wife one time was talking to a man who was a founder and all that. Knew him, and we hadn't seen him in a while, and she saw him downtown where, and was all excited, and he said to her, he said, I got saved the other day. He said, I got saved the other day. My wife is a woman of understanding. Frowned, and she said, I'm sorry to hear that. Johnny, he thought, he's just going to be so happy. What do you mean? What do you mean? You're sorry to hear. She said, well, if the Lord had saved you, you would have said that. You would have said, the Lord saved me. Well, he said, I meant that. He said, that's not what you said. Is that being too narrow? Brethren, if somebody is drowning out there and they can't get back to shore and they're going down, all right, and I send my son, and this is a despicable, criminal, no good, worthless person, ain't worth saving, and I send my only child out there to save it, and my child died saving that person, when they come back to shore and my son brings them back and my son lays down his life saving that person better not say, well, I accepted him. I let him save me. And my son laid me, this is the only way a human being can be saved is by Jesus. That's right. You better believe it. The person who's really been saved by Jesus Christ is going to be telling everybody. What if you were saved by that man? What would you be saying? What if John said, John Chapman is the best man I know. He died for me. Oh, I love John. What can I do for his honor and glory? Huh? That's what is in every... They know who saved them. And they dare not share the glory at all. And if they're going to tell anybody about their salvation, this is what they're going to tell them. Praise of the glory of you.